so much. Hey, everybody. It's wonderful, isn't it, to be in the space? Wonderful to be in the room. And to those who are watching from home, we totally understand that the vast majority of people right now are needing to watch from home because of what's happened globally with the pandemic. And there are restrictions on how many people are allowed to be in the room. But that's okay. God is not hindered. He's not hindered. And I hope you come to the same conclusion as me at the back edge of this message, once I've had an opportunity to share with you the sort of things that God has been stirring in our hearts, and then the sorts of things that demonstrably God is doing, where doors are opening and where our collective reach is being extended. I believe you're going to come to the same conclusion with me by the end of this message, that God is not caged, that God is not being held back by what's taking place. In fact, for all of the hardship and challenge and trouble of the global pandemic, and I fully acknowledge that, I in no way understate the hardship, the death, the suffering, the struggle, to people's sense of well-being, what it's doing to economies and families and people all around the world. I acknowledge all of that, but can I say, in the midst of it, in the hardest of times, God builds people and God extends His church. And I believe He's doing that right now. And I hope to show that to you even as we unpack this message. What we do in the final quarter of each year, so in the final quarter of 2020, we've been very prayerful. Well, we're seeking to perpetually be prayerful and saying, God, what are you saying to us? But we focus and say, Lord, as we put a theme into 2021, what is the theme that you're putting on our hearts? This year's theme is tagged out of Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. It says, and the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. Here's our theme, therefore, for 2021, all things new. I will be bringing messages each weekend through this month of February. Next weekend, I'll be applying all things new to us individually. What's the implications for God making all things new inside my person? But today, we're going to be dealing far more with the corporate, with the collective of us, the us and the we. And I'm going to be touching on some of that. My mind went to the words of Jesus, where he used a couple of metaphors with regards to God making things new and the necessity of it. Matthew chapter 9, verse 16, Jesus said this, besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins, so they are both preserved. Now, the sort of metaphor, Jesus is not talking about cloth or wineskins here. He's actually speaking about the requirement of God doing something, not only in us as individuals, but even to do organizationally with systems and processes, whether it's to do with architecture and mandate, that Jesus is actually talking about God needing to renew the way people think so that we are able to cooperate with Him with what He's wanting to achieve. The purpose of the metaphor, if you're not familiar with it, with the wineskins, for example, one of those two metaphors, when they fermented grape juice in leather, it expands. As it ferments, it expands with the gases and the leather stretches. It now becomes an old wineskin because it has already done its purpose and it has stretched. If you then try and use it a second time, you put new wine into the old wineskin. As it tries to stretch again, that's when it bursts and everything spills out. That's the metaphor that Jesus is using there. The one with the cloth on the clothes, that's maybe a little clearer to people with regards to that which might shrink and tear and all those sort of things. So God is basically needing to renew. He's needing to renew thinking so that we can stay with Him with what He's wanting to achieve. What's happened with the global pandemic has not caught God by surprise whatsoever. He's not been caught by surprise. And in the context of a terrible hardship globally, God can do remarkable things in and through us. I need us to acknowledge collectively that we don't journey forward towards the past. Our journey forward, it's not like, oh, remember the good old days pre-pandemic? We're not journeying forward in 2021 back to 2019. That would really be false thinking. Habits are formed in a matter of weeks. But we've already had, we're kind of pushing toward a year with this global pandemic. And I don't pretend to be a futurist. I'm certainly not a medical scientist, but an epidemiologist. But those who are and who are familiar with these things are saying, there is the potential that we're actually entering into a new era where we'll actually be needing to waltz with this thing and live with this thing, and as it manages to morph, we don't know how long a vaccine will hold for, and so what does it look like to try and vaccinate the entire globe, maybe twice a year, to kind of keep people fresh, and can we keep up with it morphing, and all those sorts of things. That's all well outside my pay grade and my understanding. I can only hear those who are well trained in these things. Point being, though, in the context of that, we potentially sit on the edge of a new era that God has not been caught by surprise by, but has implications in all sorts of different ways as we think about the future. We hear this from Isaiah 43, verse 19, where the Lord says, "For I am about to do something new." He says, "See, I have already begun." That is can be applied as a prophetic word to today. God is doing something new, and he's already begun. And certain things, and this applies not only to church, it applies to various domains of industry. That which had already begun has been turbocharged forward. For those of you who are lead thinkers in your industries, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Things that might have taken years to take place have now happened in weeks or months. And it's been turbocharged because so much has shifted. Now that is true for the church as well. It's true that the mission of God, which will not be hindered, will find new pathways. The Lord says, "Do you see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland." So God is blazing new trails, and he is doing it. And I want to kind of touch on some of those things. Crossway's vision hasn't changed. We want to see our city, nation, and the nations become disciples of Jesus. That's based on the Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outermost parts of the world. When Jesus spoke to his disciples, they were going to be his witnesses. And so we kind of re-vocabularied that to city, nation, and nations. And so we commit in that way. Our core mission is to say, loving God and loving people, that which Jesus said was the most important thing. And we apply that in all sorts of different ways. Disciples that multiply, which is far more nuanced and unique and not normative in Western Christianity. And I'm going to unpack that a little bit in today's message. When we speak about our values at Crossway, these haven't changed either. We say nothing matters more, and we subtext that with Jesus is always front and center. We are a Christ-centered community of faith and believe that Jesus is preeminent in all things. That is who we are. That is what we are. Sure, we worship a triune God, and certainly we address him as Father, but the significance and centrality of Jesus is unmistakable in the Scriptures and therefore in our lives and in the sort of culture we're creating here. We say there's room for you. We subtext that with anyone can experience authentic community. We are a come-as-you-are type environment. We're not a stay-as-you-are environment because lives are being shaped and changed all the time. We're definitely a come-as-you-are environment. We say everyone gets to play. It's the mission of God in the hands of ordinary people, the mission of God in your hands. We reject the idea that the mission of God has been pulled up into the hands of the clergy, back up to the hand of the professionals, back up to the hands of the trained ones. We say, no, that's not what the Scriptures say. The Scriptures affirms the priesthood of all believers. That when Peter and John in Acts 4:13 stood before the Sanhedrin, they noticed their courage, and they were described as unskilled and ordinary men. Agrammatos idiotes, if you want some good Greek words, they're the words that describe them. They were agrammatos idiotes, but it goes on to say, but they could tell that they'd been with Jesus. So we say, everyone gets to play. It's the mission of God in the hands of ordinary people, the mission of God in your hands, in your street, in your work, in your family. We talk about in our culture, we dare to dream. We subtext that. Bold faith leads to innovation and influence and impact. We seek to create a culture of bold faith because we've got a big and powerful and very willing God that we seek to keep up with and partner with for the glory and honor of his name. Now, final value says we take nothing for granted. It's a humble statement, and we subtext that we respond to God's goodness with gratitude and generosity. We're a grateful people, we're a generous people. It's all a response to the incredible goodness of God. So what's God calling us to? What are some of the unique challenges of 2021? Well, let me just throw a few of them out here. Let's start just kind of with our city, our own hearts in our city, because our city, Melbourne, is our Jerusalem. This is our kind of our starting point of where the mission comes from. Unmistakably, the purposes of God are that we, in being disciples of Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus is to be a disciple who knows how to multiply. Here, we have rejected the failed Western model that allows it to stop with you. Western Christianity, which says, just educate me more, make me more moral, make me a better and more understanding Christian and who lives as a nicer person, but where I'm just a bucket and it stops with me. That is failed Western Christianity that's led Christianity in Australia to its seventh decade of decline. Here we say it must never stop with you. You're not a bucket, you're a conduit. The good news has come to you so the good news can go through you to others. The love of God has come to you so it can go through you to others. The forgiveness of God, the grace of God, the Holy Spirit of God, He and those things I've just described have come to you so that it might move through you to touch other people. Disciples that multiply. As somebody who calls Crossway their spiritual home, and for those who are wondering about that, some really basic discipleship skills that we hope to infuse into all. And we've got some training coming up on March the 3rd and then part two on March the 6th. How to disciple a friend towards faith in Jesus. Simple skills like learning how to hear from God, realizing that everything is born out of prayer, discovering in your world where God is already at work, that which Jesus described as a person of peace or elsewhere as a worthy person, the way the Spirit of God is already on the move, those people who already like you, listen to you and serve you, and discovering what it looks like to disciple a person towards faith in Jesus by reading the Scriptures together with them. I'm looking for somebody to read the Bible with. I don't know whether you'd be interested. 30 times more effective than Australian Christianity at discipling people towards faith in Jesus. Want to share, want to build that into your heart and into your skill set. The normalizing of being a disciple who knows how to multiply. Doing it in such a way that the individual says to themselves, oh, this is easy, I could do that. Rapid mobilization, in situ learning, growth as a byproduct. Growth as a byproduct of engagement. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. Nourishment by obediently engaging in the purposes of God. That's where nourishment is, not classroom nourishment. Nourishment by engagement in his mission. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I don't judge as the Father judges, I only speak as the Father speaks. So this mandate from heaven, as we hear, so we speak, as we see, so we do. Disciples that multiply, the normalizing into our environment, that is front and center in our agenda. It's the mandate of God now on us. Now, through 2020 and the terrible lockdown that Melbourne experienced and all the hardship of the global pandemic, we strengthened our local community commitment. Life Care became a stronger ministry through 2020. We built a full walk-in freezer and fridge to augment our pantry services, 2,200 substantive gifts of groceries were delivered to doors in 2020. That ministry has been strengthened, and we're weaving through our discipleship pathways so that those who even have been recipients of that blessing are now being mobilized where they themselves can be the blessers and developing a little discipling community even around that pantry as we speak that is developing. We don't make a big noise about our women's center for women who've survived domestic abuse. But that ministry has been strengthened in 2020 as well. Crossway is a service provider to a couple of schools of chaplaincy, Forest Hill Secondary College. Federal money is released, but it's the intermediary on that funding and the placement of that funding is our state government in Victoria. And while Forest Hill College has been supported for 10 years with Crossway as the service provider, we're defunded. We also partner with Whedon Primary School. They were also defunded. I'm not suggesting that's a conspiracy. In all likelihood, that's coincidental. But we have chosen to partner with those schools and to step up in our commitment. They are incredibly grateful because the chaplain plays a vital role in the wellbeing team in those schools and also in strengthening the students in those environments. Now, a really, really important part as we look to 2021, we need to rediscover our we and our us. That is ownership. Can I say to the vast majority of people who will be watching this message online, and for those of you who have more than one screen active right now, you've got me kind of going in the background, but you're also on Facebook or Instagram. You know the story? Yeah, you kind of, you are paying attention, but you know, you're reading a news article over here as well. Just put that down for a second. I mean it. We giggle because we know it's true. Okay? Put it down for a second. Let me say this as candidly to you as I can. In as much as habits are built in the space of weeks, it's possible that you're developing the habit of doing this thing on your own. Not only can you stream a worship service and a message, and you can get it from anywhere and find the best communicators in the world, you're streaming from multiple sources, you're sitting in your jammies, you've got a cup of coffee in your hand, and you're saying, this is awesome, I can do it anytime I want to. You're in your jammies at 3 p.m. with a cup of coffee or whatever it might be, and you're saying, I'm loving this. Can I say to you, you are on a downward trajectory at that point. You're on a downward trajectory. You're developing dangerous habits. It's not the way God designed you to be. You're a relational people. So can I say to you, choose to worship wherever and whenever you can with others. With others. So I just want you to know this. So the way we're thinking, we're starting to think about a decentralized Crossway. We're already actively planning towards and believing God for the initiating of a growing number of campuses connected with Crossway. But I want to take it down to the individual level here, and I want to say this to you. We are supportive of you planting and streaming. Really, whatever will work for you. In as much as the majority of people cannot get into the building right now, Vision Sunday on a previous year would have been a high attendance Sunday. Towards 5,000 people would have come through the facility. So the vast majority are doing this online right now. And here is the risk. It will reinforce your individualism. It will reinforce your isolation. And it's not the way that God made you to be. If you have been being a pastor in your street, maybe your home can be a base where people can collect and worship together. You can stream it, you can sing together, you can worship together. Crumbs, you might even have a meal together. That would be a radical idea. That's the way the early church used to do it. Meeting in one another's homes and breaking bread together. I just want you to know we are fully supportive of that. You might even have several life groups in your area, and if you're in good relationship with each other, you know each other, you might know there's a community hall that you can grab. Grab it. We are supportive. I want to empower you for the decentralization so that people can have the opportunity to worship together. Just let us know so that we can support you and strengthen your hand in whatever way we might be able to do that. Okay? Green light for decentralization. Don't do it all alone for another year. I can't say it to you more candidly than that. Don't do it all alone for another year. Get here when you can. Meet with your life group, whatever it might be. And life groups actually become so important. I want you to know, wherever you are us. We are you. That's why I say develop your we and your us. Try and catch yourself when you refer to Crossway as they. Because it's not they, it's us. It's we. It's what we do because we are the family of God. If this is your spiritual family, if this is your spiritual home, embrace the we and the us, not the they and the me or the I. Because relationships are the glue. If it is that we're potentially moving into a new era of living with this global pandemic, it's not, even if we're not entering into a new era, you don't have to be a futurist to understand the sort of shadow it's even going to throw over 2021, possibly over 2022. So, you know, we're looking at some extended trend lines. So realize this, relationships are the glue. They really are. Who are you in relationship with? You need people in your world who speak honestly and openly and lovingly. It's got to work like that. If you're not in a life group, and a significant number of people not in a life group, please go there. crossway.org.au/lifegroups. If you went there in the last 7 days, I was informed in the foyer that there was a technical glitch. You have been lost if you registered in the last 7 days. I'm sorry. Re-register. Have a chat over at the Next Steps area if you're physically in the building, and the team will be out there. Have a chat about the potential of a life group. Can I really simply and quickly say, joining a life group is not like getting married. It's okay to move around. And I'd like to point out, I would know in about 30 seconds if a life group was the right life group for me. And really, if you want a really simple acid test on it, could these people be my friends? Do I like these people? Like, just feel like a life-giving environment for me where it's the dynamics of the chemistry. If it's not there, it will be there in another group. Find the right group. Now, Edie and I are in a life group. We meet on a Friday night, and 4 or 5 weeks, we do it by Zoom. The life group, we only started it in 2020. And so we meet multi-weeks by Zoom. And then as soon as we're able to, about once every 5 weeks or so, we then meet together and we have a meal together. We might go out to a restaurant or we might have a meal in a home. And so that rhythm is working really well for us. And so even though now we could meet in our homes every week, we are choosing to Zoom it for multi-weeks and then catch up on the extra week. And just find your relational zone. Don't do it alone. That's so very important. Now, there's all sorts of things there's so much taking place. You know, record registration for Alpha that's just about to commence. Youth on Friday night just gone by, booked out, 300 youth in the facility and more who would have liked to have come, but the registrations were full and closed and they've prospered through it. Fully closed year, the first time they were being able to be back together. And the young adults retreat, which is also booked out according to that facility. And so, God's doing some great things locally. Now, nationally, I'd like to let you know this. This word influence, God has placed that in our hearts and has stirred it in us for multiple years now. We seek to be a small contributor to changing the public narrative of Christianity in Australia. As I've mentioned already, we're in our seventh decade of decline, and the narrative about Christianity generally is a negative narrative. We want to be a small contributor to changing that narrative to a public narrative of growth. So that the project, the 7 p.m. ABC report, whatever we'll do, well, what's happened to Christianity in Australia? Look at that, it's begun to grow again. We want to be a contributor to that. You might not realize it, but Crossway is already directly ministering and individually ministering to 2% of the churches of the nation. That might surprise you. But we are. There's 232 churches that we're working with. Let me break that down. One way that we're working with churches, in fact, 89 churches and/or campuses from 11 denominations, is through building a discipling culture. They're individually coached, just that church. It must involve the minister of that church and a guiding coalition on a fortnightly basis for 2 years. We work with them to develop their language and their practices, to shape their culture around the most important issue, discipling people in their faith in Jesus, towards faith and a life of faith. And we're working with them. That is huge all by itself. Our vision for that ministry over the next decade is to assist 10% of the churches of the nation, of all tribes, not just Baptist, of all tribes, including the Catholics. We hope to be able to assist there if there's a willingness and an openness. The other way that we're working with a lot of churches is through Coach and Empowered Faith Communities. Through those two initiatives, we're working with 143 churches, not only in Australia, but in the UK. I should have said with building a discipling culture, we're also working with churches in New Zealand already. So we're doing a multinational reach. But with Coach, 2020, our year of lockdown, was a year of expansion for Coach, as it was for BDC, by the way. BDC grew by more than 100%. The number of churches we were working with grew by more than 100%. We went from working with, if I can see Chris over here, I think we closed the year off last, 19, closed off with 34 churches, and then we closed off 2020 with 83 churches, and now we're already with 89 churches, and there are more churches sitting in the wings. So numbers. Eddie says to me, people don't get that. I'm just a bit of a numbers guy myself. I can't help myself. They tell the truth, you know. Coach grew. So BDC grew by more than 100% in a year. Coach also grew. We already had Coach family, youth and kids, community mentoring. It's been three times reviewed academically through Monash University. We know that over 60% of participants in Coach find their way into Christian community. It's a remarkable initiative. Working amongst those who are doing life tough. But so we've expanded it. In 2020, we've now opened Chinese Coach. We've opened Indigenous Coach, which has been a multi-year project led by Mark Matthews from our staff in partnership with the Salvation Army. The Salvation Army are contributing $440,000 for a multi-year trial period of Indigenous Coach on Palm Island, one of the most marginalized Indigenous communities in the nation. Others are partnering up with that as well, so we hope to take Indigenous Coach right across the landscape in the land, and a new entrant from the Coach suite of mentoring is Financial Coach, community mentoring, where that really is the primary issue that they're facing. We're also putting it out there because there are more than enough churches that are coming out of the COVID period, or at this stage of the COVID period, gasping for air. And so we're saying if a current church wants to be part of Crossway, that we are open and we're gearing up for those conversations. In fact, there is a live conversation happening right now. So if through your family network and if through your friendship network, you know of a church or some of the leaders in that church would say, oh my goodness, we would love to partner with Crossway to strengthen our hand for local mission. We are gearing up for that and we've got a demonstrable capacity already to do that. So those conversations are happening across the nation right now as well. Now when we talk internationally, I want you to know that Crossway continues to send people primarily to unreached people groups. Our vision for our international side of things is Indigenous-led church planting movements amongst unreached people groups of the world. Can I say it to you again? Because each one of those phrases is very important. Here's our vision, and it has been for many years, by the way. Indigenous-led, we're always aiming ultimately at that. Led by locals, Indigenous-led, church planting movements, not just service provision. Indigenous-led, church planting movements amongst unreached people groups of the world. There's kind of the primary field that we seek to focus on. Now, I'm not speaking hyperbolically here. I'm speaking literally. Our sent workers are already triggering disciple-making movements around the world. You might be surprised to know that we are already seeing thousands of churches planted globally, directly through our sent workers, and that is not hyperbolic, that's literal. Now, can I just have a really quick moment of candor here? We just closed off our Christmas offering. We do it every year to support the international side of the work and funding of the workers. And this year it was called Generations to Come. We set a reasonably modest target of $300,000 across the sort of people base that Crossway has. That is genuinely a modest target. And we gave just under $200,000, for which I'm incredibly grateful for those who participated. But let me tell you what I know. So here's transparency. The vast majority of people don't participate in that. So I realize the vast majority do not participate in that. It's kind of like blah, 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 international stuff. It's all kind of out there. And yeah, we've always done it. And Crossway's generous and a lot of money will be given. But you don't participate. And I know that because the vast majority don't. A smaller group participate quite generously. The majority don't participate at all. And I just want you to know what we're doing internationally, that like there's a couple of couples right now who are just gearing up to go. One couple might be a little later this year and maybe the other couple next year. They will be going to a country where it is dangerous to be a Christian. And they're moving in. They're moving in to be Christian witnesses. They're taking unique skill sets in with them into those environments. And We have some of our people being prepared to give their lives away, and then we've got the vast majority who can't even find $100. So I just want to say that for what it is, okay? I just say it for what it is. That we've already closed Christmas off. I just want you to know that part of who we are has never gone away and won't ever go away, because we're committed to the nations. And our workers, not only are they making creating disciple-making movements, but they're involved in health and education, justice issues, and the like. If you're part of a life group, can I say, make sure you've adopted at least a worker or a worker couple somewhere. Don't adopt them all, it's too many. Just adopt a worker couple. Go to Pastor Darren Hempstead. He can link you up and you can communicate with them. Now, here's some new information for you. Wasn't on our strategic plan, but we were approached by Trinity Broadcasting Network Russia. It's a television station. And they contacted us. I initially thought it was spam, saying, we'd like to start streaming some of your messages globally. It's like, yeah, your uncle in Nigeria died and wants to leave you $20 million. Just send $10,000 to this account, you know. So initially I was kind of looking at it like, what is this thing? But anyway, it turned out to be real, and got to meet with the CEO of the station there in Russia, and I very candidly said, we have no Russian emphasis. That's Russia is not our focus. And he said, oh, that doesn't matter. He said we had a vacancy come up. We did a global search. And anyway, your messages came back as recommended, so we want to open up the conversation with you, whether or not you'd be prepared to partner with us and here's the reach. And I'm saying, what's the reach? 186 countries. What's the viewing audience? Probably about 2.5 million people. Really? They said, yeah, they said there's more Russians living outside of Russia than in Russia. 166 million Russians outside of Russia, about 144 million living in Russia. We take it to 186 countries, and they'll play the same sermon twice a week and then change it each week, yes? And some of them in multiple countries, kind of primetime viewing slots, and all of a sudden you start to realize, oh, hang on, that's actually a big deal. It's a big reach. And then they said, oh, Trinity Broadcasting Network is a global family, and if something works, he said, we'll know in about a year whether it works, and we develop our relationship. But he said, if it works, other Trinity countries, Trinity Broadcasting Network, will look at it. And so it's potentially a gateway to a broader engagement with Trinity Broadcasting Network. And so they've sent us the contract through, and we're just kind of in process of sign off on that. God won't be caged. You know when Jesus said about the parable of the talents, he says, you've been faithful with a few things, I'll put you in charge of many things. Or in Luke's gospel, you've been faithful with a few things, I'll put you in charge of 10 cities. Whatever is in your hand, this is a principle, God is developing the character and the competency with what you already have, and he watches to see whether the character and the competency is there for greater resource and capacity and greater reach or whatever it might be. For some of you, God can't trust you with already your level of employment. He can't trust you already with your level of cash flow. He can't trust you already for your level of responsibility to do it with integrity and all those sorts of things. You are praying and hoping for greater responsibilities. You're praying and hoping for greater resource. And God's saying, until you develop your character and your competency with what you already have, don't expect me to extend your tent pegs. God will not give you that which will dethrone him. Some of you think if you won Tats Lotto, you'd start to tithe. Sure. Sure, you will. If you don't have the character and competency with what you have right now, don't be expecting God to be releasing that to you. It will dethrone him. He won't do that. So he's stretching out the reach. And finally, we've also been asked to be part of a global initiative, a global network, and personally invited in, Edie and I have been invited in, with just a select group of, globally of pastors, about 80, and a subset with a view to the renewal of 1 million churches globally, and we're kind of stepping into some of those types of spaces. Oh, actually, I meant to say, with regard to Trinity Broadcasting Network, we don't do anything different. I shared that with someone, and they said to me, Dale, as long as we don't see less of you, I said, it doesn't change anything. We're already doing everything. We just upload a sermon. It's like, It's not changing anything operationally. That's just extended reach. And so we're part of a broader initiative. Now, I simply share that grand vision with you, which is much more than 2021. It's beyond. But I want you to know this. God is a big and powerful God. And while we've been in the global pandemic, we really haven't been able to worship like this very much. And for some, I saw you in the foyer and said, it's your first time back in the facility. Great to have you back. But I want you to know, God has not had his wings clipped. The ministry have not had their wings clipped. We're not being pushed into a corner. No, God himself is expanding the reach and the influence. So I just need to ask you, and I want you to answer this in your own heart. Is this worthy? This is your question to yourself. Is this worthy of my giving myself to this? Is this a noble kingdom cause? Can I say to you, if it's not, go and find one. But I give myself to this cause. I give myself to this. Give yourself to the purposes of God. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. Find the noble cause and give yourself to it. It's we, it's us. This is what we do. And God is extending our reach. God is making great impact through us in our city, in our nation, and in the nations. We live, we pray, we serve, we participate in this grand initiative. Pre-COVID-19, just over 2,000 people were part of Team Crossway. And all sorts of opportunities continue to exist, even in this pandemic era. All sorts of service opportunities. You can take a next step. So I want to express myself in service. You can be the planter. You can start church services in your street, in your home. You can join a life group. You can start to disciple another person towards faith in Jesus. You can come along to training on March 3 and 6. How do I learn how to disciple a friend towards faith in Jesus? You can join this great throng who are just signing up for Alpha online and in the facility. Like, take your steps, but don't sit on your butt. Don't just sit there and go, oh, woe is me. It's a tough gig and it's a tough time and all that sort of stuff. This tough time might have a long tail on it. Get off your butt. Step forward with God. Opportunities absolutely abound. So I invite us, please stand. Those of you who are viewing at home, I know it's slightly weird. I'm speaking to you. Put down your phone now. I'm speaking to you. Please stand up. I know that's unusual in your home. There's other people, like, am I going to be anyone in my lounge room who stands? Just stand right now. They'll join you. Let's stand together. And let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, you are the God who makes all things new. You are the God who does renewal in our own hearts. You are the God who is powerful. You are the God who puts your mission in our hands and declares us to be a kingdom of priests. We are your ambassadors. So we present our hearts to you again. We know that we're fragile and we know that we're earthly, broken vessels. But we believe you that by your Holy Spirit, you can do such a profound work in our hearts that you do expand our lives and you do work through us to touch other lives. So we offer ourselves to you right now. That we might be the sort of men and women that you desire us to be. God, in our place of study, in our home, in our work, whether it's through church, whether it's through community engagements that we do, Father, we offer ourselves to you, that we will be your hands and feet, your heart, your mouth. Father, we can be great lovers of you and great lovers of people, that we will discover the joy of what it is to be a disciple who knows how to multiply. So, Father, thank you. We bless and praise your name for extended reach, that you're taking the message further. You're going to touch a whole lot more lives as a result of that. And we just want to bless and praise your name, that we get to worship a big and powerful God, and you invite us into intimacy with you. So we praise your holy name, and we thank you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and God's people said, amen and amen. Amen. Great days ahead. Come on, team. Let's worship together, shall we?